cheese
then? Well, let's start. We're in Parak Beis, Pasuk Vav.
Sure.
So we're in the middle of Yehoshua's Tefillah. And last Pasuk we discussed how Yehoshua came to the realization that he's not a Cherim, he's not going to die, Hashem is not letting him die. And Hashem wants to hear from him. Those are three important things. So he starts, Hashem wants to hear from him, he's not going to die, he's going to go. So he opens up. So he said either he retained the hope that he's going to go back to the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to survive, he's going to make it out of the fish, he's going to go back to the Beis HaMikdash, or he's referring to the fact that he's presently in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, underneath it. Pasuk Vav, Afafuni Mayim Bad Nefesh, water surrounded me up until the Nefesh. Up until the Nefesh. We say Ad V'Lay Ad B'Chlal. Up until the Nefesh, but that's it. Like the water came up until the Nefesh, but not further. Tahayimi Se V'Veini, the depths have surrounded me. And Suf Chavish L'Reishi. Suf is sometimes translated as reeds. The Gamsuf, Sea of Reeds. Or algae. And Chavush, in modern Hebrew, a tachboshet, a chovesh, is a bandage. Or a chovesh is a bandager, like an EMT is called a chovesh. Because an EMT is accredited to put bandages on people. So chovesh the Rashi is, it's like his head was bandaged with algae. Or reeds. It was bandaged. And that's something which I'm going to have to do a little bit of explaining. We explained in previous psukim, the Malbim explains the Yaina actually metamorphosized, and he became like an embryonic fish. It means that his life systems, he didn't eat, he didn't breathe, he didn't let out waste. He got his life source from the fish. And normally people can't do that, and Yena underwent a change which allowed him to do that. If he had to see, he saw through the eyes of a fish. If you think about it for a minute, you know, a person in the belly of a fish, in a purely physical sense, can't see out the eyes of a fish. Yen was able to see out the eyes of the fish. When Hashem creates a synthesis between a person and a fish, then you can see out the eyes of the fish. Yen is the fish, in a sense, because he's become part of it, in a sense. He's become a part of the fish, in a sense. So the mom says, that's from this pasuk, that the algae and the reeds surrounded his head and like became attached to his head. Because even though Yain himself had no algae, he's in the fish. There's no algae in the fish. There's no reeds in the fish. But the algae was around the head of the fish. The fish was going through algae. So Yain was saying, Suf Chavish L'Reishi, is he's referring to this phenomenon, this metamorphosis. Suf Chavish L'Reishi, I've got algae around my head because it's around the fish's head, and the fish's head is my head. That's my head that the algae is around. That's my head. Yaina's own personal head wasn't functioning as a head. Couldn't see, couldn't eat, couldn't breathe. His own head wasn't functioning as a head. What was his head? His head was the fish's head. Suf Chavish L'Reishi. Another interpretation of Suf, as we saw in the Medrash, that he asked the fish, in return for him saving the fish's life, he asked the fish to show him the Eretz Amudei Yamsuf, the land of the pillars of the Yamsuf. And that Medrash is derived from the word Suf. Suf Chavish L'Reishi, he's making an allusion. He's referring to the Yamsuf. Because the Yam Suf flows into the same sea that borders on the city of Yaffa. So the Yam Suf somehow has a connection to the Mediterranean Sea. And the fish brought him there.
So he asked the fish to bring him to the dry land?
No, to the Yam Suf. Everything was underwater. Further in the pasuk, it says, "Afafuni manim." I was surrounded by water. Earlier in the pasuk, "Afafuni manim." It says, "I was surrounded by water, ad nefesh, until my soul." Tami saravein, in the depths surrounded me. So you see that there's two types, there's two references to being surrounded by water. One is the word water is used, and the other reference to the word tahaim, the depths are used. The mom says that when it says afafuni mayim ad nafesh taimi sevaveni, so he's referring to the time when Yenu was in the water between being ejected from the mouth of the first fish into the second fish.
That's Tahom?
And that's what it says, Tahim.
Wait, who says this?
The Malbim. The Tahim is referring to when he was already in the Tahim. The two fish were both in the Tahim. Yeah, when he shot from one to the other, he was in the time. He didn't have to go into the water. He was already in the water. But when the sailors threw him in, he didn't go very deep. It seems that the fish came up into the shallow water and swallowed him. So he was in the water twice, once when he was in shallow water, and once when he was in deep water. So Afafuni Mayim, he was surrounded by water, but he wasn't in the depths. But then there was a secondary stage between when he was going from one fish to the other, because the fish took him from the shallow waters, brought him down to the deep water, and then ejected him. So that's what it says, time. That's the second meaning of time.
So wait, the Mayim is the sailors and the Haim is the fish?
Right. That's the Malbim. The Radak. The Malbim says that this pasuk refers to when he was out of the fish. But the Radak says no. It's talking about the stage when he was in the fish. And it's similar to the pshat we just said in the previous pasuk. That he was saying my body was surrounded by water. My body was in the depths. Now he's in the fish. So then, How is he saying that his body's in the depths? His body's in the fish, and the fish is in the depths. So the Radak says that, you know, based on what we said before, that since Yaina's body was the fish, so he was saying, water is surrounding my body, water is surrounding me because I'm the fish, and the fish is in the depths. So there's two ways of learning this pasuk. One is that it's talking about when he's outside of the fish, and the water actually made contact with him. Or the other is that he's in the fish, but the water making contact with the fish is the same as making contact with him, because his body, the body of the fish, has been assimilated by him. That's his. And the pasuk says, "Afafuni mam ad nafesh." It sounds like there's some kind of barrier here. The water came up until my life. There's a medrash on this part, on this segment, from the Yalkut Me'am Lo'ez. The Yalkut Me'am Lo'ez, there's all kinds of dangerous and harmful sea creatures in the depths. Yeah, they have tentacles and stingers, all kinds of icky things. So Yena wasn't just in danger of drowning or asphyxiating, but he could have been attacked. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Yehuda to be attacked. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused a covering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the extra waters and used the waters to create a covering or a barrier over Yonah so that none of the sea creatures would have any opportunity or access to Yehuda. So he learns the
possible. While he's in the fish? Or
no, this is while he's in the water. So according to this medrash, the pasuk about "Fufuni Mayim Ad Nafesh" is he's thanking God. You wrapped me in a cocoon. You wrapped me in a blanket of water. Ad Nafesh, that they could come up until my life, but the sea creatures can't take my life. So there's dual themes in the same pasuk. You know, according to some mafarshim, he's explaining about what he's going through. His trials, his tribulation, and according to others, he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the tremendous chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the depths, he wrapped him up and preserved his life. And he was aware of it. And he knew it. He saw that he was free. He was in a bubble. The next pasuk is going to be very familiar to you. You're going to see the medrash that we went through. It comes alive. Pasuk Zion, Lekitzvei Harim Yiradati. To the edges of the mountains I went down. The Medrash says that the fish took him underneath Yerushalayim, and he was able to see that Yerushalayim is perched on seven mountains. The seven mountains which support Yerushalayim. The pasuk says, Lekitzvei Harim Yiradati. I went to the edges of the mountains. I'm sorry, the Kitzvei Harim Yiradati. Yeah. Ha'aretz and land, B'richeha Ba'adi Le'elam, is like a lock. A lock upon me forever. I'm locked. I'm locked in. I'm locked in by the Aretz. B'richayim is a lock. Ba'atal Mishachas Chayai, I came out of Shachas. So he said, Shachas is Gehenna, purgatory. Hashem Elokai. Who did this? You, Hashem, my Hashem. Hashem Elokai.
What's Gehenna more?
Shachas.
Shachas, so what is he saying?
We'll see in a moment. Let's go on the phrase Brichel Badil Alam. I was locked in. Right, so we already spoke about Lukitzvi Haram Yiradati. I was at the edge of the mountains. That's because the fish brought him under Yerushalayim. And he saw the Evan Shasia. He saw the, you know, the stone that the entire world was created for. He saw Adas Korach. He saw the children of Korach on the Evan Shasia, and the mountains of Yerushalayim was on. Brichel. Mida keneged mida. The word bariach could also be read as livroach. Bricha means to escape. Bricha, livroach. Liyivrach yankiv. To run away. And the word bariach also means to be locked in. The same word includes the word itself plus its antonym. Bariach means to be locked in, and bariach means to break loose. So Abar Benel says, I wanted to break out. I wanted to run away. I wanted to be ani ratziti livroach. I wanted to run. Like we explained, I wanted to run to a place that Hashem would not reveal himself anymore. I wanted to run to a place that there's no nevuah. I wanted to run to a place that the Kedusha won't be there. You could never run away from Hashem, but I thought you could run away from a relationship with Hashem. From contact. But I discovered, to the contrary, that there's brichaim, there's a lock. There's locks. There's padlocks in this world. Brichaha. It's padlocks. It's locked. So you could never, ever exit from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha. You're locked into our Hashkacha. Ha'aretz Brichaha Ba'adi. This world, we're locked into Hashkacha. We are forced. We have no choice to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Now at this point, you realize that he can't run away from Hashem?
He can't run away from Hashem's relationship. Hashem doesn't allow it.
This is
the Barbano. And the Barbano says, Vatal Mishachas Chayai, I came back from purgatory. That's referring to that day in the past that he died. As a young boy, he died. And Eliyahu Navi revived him, and he brought him back to life. Yehina made this association. He said, I see that I'm locked in. I see that there's no escape. You have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates you, and you're here, and you can't leave. And you have to have a relationship with him, and he speaks to you, and there's no avoiding it. And that he associated that with his Tchiyas Samesham when he was a youth. That there also there was an unsuccessful escape. You know, the ultimate escape. The people, Chas V'Shalom, Rahman al-Islam, that they contemplate suicide. There's one reason why they do it. It's an escape. You know, wherever they turn, they see a brick wall in front of them. There's no escape. There's no solution. They have no hope. And everything is closing in on them. So it's the ultimate escape. But of course, the moment they die, they find out that there is no escape from God. Yaina couldn't even escape from this world. He died. A Kadosh Baruch Hu popped him back in. He's locked in. So that's why Yaina mentions, Batal Mishachas Chayai. I couldn't even die, you know? I couldn't even die. So Shachas, according to Barbanel, is not referring to hell, Gehenim. It's referring to his death as a young boy. The Malbim has a different slant on this. The Malbim says the lock is not referring to the figurative lock that you can't leave Hashem's Hashkacha. He takes it quite literally. It's talking about the lock. He said as long as he was in the first fish, so he's surviving. He's mobile. He doesn't need to breathe. He doesn't need to eat. He's one with the fish. Fish, you know, they travel throughout the sea. They sometimes surface.
They'd be locked.
So he's not locked in. Being in the fish is not locked in. He's in the second fish. It's also not locked in. The fish will come up. It comes up. They go up. They go down. They go here. They go there. And in the meantime, he's safe. In between the two fish, it seems that in between the two fish, he did not have, he didn't sprout gills. When he was in between the two fish, you know, 20,000 leagues beneath the sea. In the Tahaim, there's no getting out of that. He won't survive the amount of time it takes to get to the surface. There's no getting out of that. So the Mama says that this particular passage refers to the point when he was between two, he was contemplating. Then the first fish, I thought it was, you know, pretty, you know, I thought that was pretty bad, but that was nothing compared to the being in between the two fish, because in the first fish, the fish came up, swallowed him, went down, it can go up again. And anything he needs for life, he has. The same thing in the second fish, but in between, he's locked in. He's gone.
How much time was he in between them?
How much time does it take for a fish to spit in from one to the next? I don't know.
Was it directly, or it was like...
Take an experiment, get two big fish, and then have an experiment.
So In between the two fish, that's when he was locked?
That's when he considered himself locked in. Because that matzav, that situation, you can never get out of. You're locked in. And finally, the Eben Ezra on this pasuk interprets Va'ata'al Mishachas Chayai. Shachas, he defines as Gehenim. That he realized that by trying to run away from Hashem's Hashkacha, he was on a one-way trip to Gehenim. It was wrong. And he was bringing his nefesh down to Gehenim. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that he has no choice, he has to come back. So what Tamei Shachas Chayai is, he's doing tshuva.
Thought he was willing to take the risk for
He knew Hashem didn't let him.
He was that Gehenim didn't bother him. He was willing to take the risk in order so that...
I wouldn't say that the phrase Gehenim didn't bother him is an accurate portrayal.
It could
of
mean
events.
That he felt
it
he was
bothered
doing
him.
The right thing, but
it's just that he felt he was forced. And now he's forced the other way. If you react to a set of circumstances that to you it appears as if you're forced to go that way, no matter what the consequences, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reverses the set of circumstances that you're forced to go the other way, so you've just been released from Gehenna. You've just been released from Gehenna. Like you thought, do you think for a minute that he's going to try and save the Jewish people against the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, it's complex. Anytime someone in the Tanakh, or even in the times of the Tanayim or Moroyim, or anyone that's a known tzaddik, did an avera? There's one common thread. At the time they were doing it, they thought they were doing the biggest and deepest mitzvah. And they were making a very big, big mistake. Big people make big mistakes. Adam Rishon ate from Eitz HaDaas. Hashem said, don't do it. He did it anyway. I mean, it's very complicated, and you don't have time to deal with the topic at length. But it's related. He thought he was doing a mitzvah. He thought he was doing Ratzon Hashem more by eating it than by not eating it. Yain also thought he was doing Ratzon Hashem. He thought he was doing Ratzon Hashem for going to Gehenim. Hashem wants him to rebel. Hashem wants him to do it because Hashem wants him to save the Jewish people. We saw that he did get rewarded for his contentions. Hashem saved him. Hashem listened to his tefillahs, or Hashem prompted him to daven because he was motivated by saving the Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem gave him a haskama. He gave him a stamp of approval to the intentions. But he thought the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do it, and now he sees that he's wrong. Hashem does not want him to go to Gehenim. So when you're forced, then you go the other way. He made a mistake. He made a mistake. Big people make big mistakes. But they don't make mistaken motivations. Their heart's in the right place. The Eben Ezra says, "V'tal mishachas chayai, my soul's coming out of Gehenim." Not the water. Not the tchias ha-meisim. Shachas, Gehenim. It's coming out of Gehenim. Pasuk Ches. Bisatef alaynafshi. The word bisatef sometimes means pain, so we'll translate it as pain. Bisatef alaynafshi. My nefesh was in pain. It's Hashem zecharti. I recalled. I remembered Hashem. Vatavei elacha tfilasi. And my prayer arrived. It's mashma, it's past tense. V'tavo yelecha tefilas, my prayer arrived. Elhecha kodshecha to your holy sanctuary. Remember the medrash that we said before, that the fish brought him to the makam ha-mikdash, It brought him underneath the Makom HaMikdash, and the fish said, Yaini, you're standing by the Makom HaMikdash. I assure you, the fish told him, I assure you, that if you daven here by the Makom HaMikdash, your tefillah will be accepted. The Pasuk says, Vatavei lach tefillasi. My tefillah came already. How was Yaini sure that his tefillah would be accepted? Hashem didn't answer him yet. He was by the Makom HaMikdash. A Yid comes to the Makom HaMikdash, to Heichal Kedshecha, and davens. Batavei lach tefillasi. He's sure that's going to be accepted. El Heichal Kedshecha. Why? The next words of the pasuk, because I'm by the holy sanctuary. That's one pshat. The Radak says another pshat why he was sure. He said if Hashem had wanted him to die, he wouldn't have created such a nes. He wouldn't have allowed him to live in the belly of the ship, of the fish. That's what Radak says. When Hashem put Yaina in a matziv, in a circumstance, in a setting, that there is no life, and in that setting, He grants him life and He bestows on him life. So Yaini sees that there's hope. And Yaini sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him to die. Hashem just wants him to reach out. Hashem wants him to daven. And if Hashem made a nes to galvanize Yaini to Tefillah, to cause him to daven, so then he's sure that the Tefillah is going to be accepted. Because he's doing what Hashem wants him to do. Now, I once had in Harnof, when Harnof first started, there were no shuls. Arnof was originally designated as a non-religious neighborhood. So they built two shuls for Arnof. In Israel, the government gives money towards the needs of the community. A non-religious neighborhood, they need two shuls. 10,000 families, 80,000 people, two shuls. Two small shuls. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you come in for a minute and leave. And there was a yeshiva there at the time called Be'er Yankiv. Rosh Hashiva was Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, Zichro Livracha. He passed away not long ago. And they rented some apartments and made a yeshiva. Knocked out the walls, made a yeshiva. That's what there was. Shuls and yeshivas were in storage rooms, lobbies, rented apartments. So everyone wanted to daven there. There weren't too many places to daven, and it was a chasher yeshiva, so it soon became packed and crowded, and it was intolerable. So Rav Moshe Shmuel sent a message to all the guests that were coming that because of limited space, if you'd like to daven there, you should ask permission. At a certain point, he wanted to have the ability to stop at a certain point so that the bacham should have seats for davening. And I used to daven there. I was one of the earliest ones. I used to learn there, Friday Shabbos, and I'd go to his Chumash Vad and his Kiddush. So I was one of the faces that he saw around. So I asked him if I could come. And he said, you're one of the Vasikin, you could come, of course. And then I asked him if my brother-in-law could come, because he also used to come with me. And he told me, he said, when he asks, I'll also have to give him permission to come. Now, does my brother-in-law have a suffix that he's going to say no? Does he have a doubt? The Rishi was waiting for him to ask. He told him yes. Yaini, it was a sure thing. This whole set of events was to induce Yaini to daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So of course every daven is going to be answered. Past tense, that's the Radak. So we translated the word b'isatav as pain. So the Malbim is the one. The Malbim is the source of that translation. And he said Yaini was in pain. There wasn't that much room in the fish's stomach. There were also little fish aluch inside, like fish eggs, to make a cramped situation worse. And he was in a lot of pain. And the pain caused, I guess you'd call it an emotional reaction. You know, physical pain could bring on emotional pain. His nephesh was in pain. I don't know if the word emotional is the proper word, but his nephesh was in pain. Spiritual pain. And when his nephesh was in pain, so then the next step in the sequence is that when your nephesh is in pain, you cry out in tefillah. And that's the way he reads the pasuk. B'satav alai nafshi. I was in pain, and therefore my nephesh was in pain. And that caused tefillah. And that's the next words of the pasuk. As Hashem zacharti, the pain was a catalyst for my nephesh to reach out to Hashem and daven. Rashi has a different way of understanding the word b'satav. Rashi says b'satav. Is not necessarily pain. There's a hole through my words in Rashi here. Rashi's bisatef means to faint. Bisalef. He was faint. He felt faint. To faint. Another alternative meaning provided by Rashi. B'satev could be to be humbled. And all the pshatim are true. He was in pain. He did faint. He was humbled. None of the pshatim are at odds with each other. But like the pshat which I felt was like the most outstanding or the most prominent is I saw in the Mitzvot Tzion. Alright, so we had a definition as pain, humbling, fainting. The Mitzvot Tzion says b'satev is from the Lashon of l'satev b'tzitzis. Mitzvah Shem, when you're married and you wear a talis gadol, and you wrap the talis gadol around you, you don't make a bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis, you make the bracha of l'satev b'tzitzis. Because you wrap yourself around with the talis. And the Mitzvah Tzion says the word Hisatef is he was wrapped around. Now what does that mean to be wrapped around? It gives us an insight to the Kekas and Nefesh of a person. When a Ben Adam is Besimcha, when we're in a state of joy and happiness, it's called being in an expansive mood. We expand. If you need something from somebody, you know, like Esther, she wanted to ask Achashverosh to save her people. So she brought him to a Suda, a Mishnah, and then another Mishnah. Ketayv Lev HaMelech B'Yayin. You want to induce a feeling of well-being and expansiveness. And then the chances of being granted your request is that much greater, because happy people, expansive people, they're more able to look outside of themselves. A depressed person is totally wrapped up in himself. He can't get out of the box. Person that's depressed is less likely to do chesed to other people. They're not part of his world. That's why one of the treatments for depression is to go out and do kind acts for people. Because going outside of yourself is working against the depression. It breaks the depression. So the science of Bishatef is that Yaina was in such pain. The Torah doesn't use the word pain. Usually the Torah would use the word tsar, or he'd use the word ke'ev or mach'ov. But here he was in such pain, he was totally wrapped up in himself. Such a pshat. This pshat appeals to me. It's just something about it. He's totally inside himself. How much hits you in the gut? What's called the pasuk tes? Mishamrim havli shav. Mishamrim means to hope for, to await, to anticipate. You know, to mishamrim havli shav. It means you put your hope in havli shav, in false nothings. Chazdem yazayvu. And they forsake the true source of chesed. There are those that they put their hope in false nothingness. It's a reference to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is havli shav, false nothings. Chazdem yazovu, and the source of the one who's the source of the one that grants them true chesed, they forsake. And I'm not like that. Miyang is contrasting himself with the Ibn Abi Dazar. That's what Rashi says. Kadosh Baruch Hu bestows so much chesed on the world. And to be the recipient of that chesed, and at the same time, to reach out to Abi Dazar, is the ultimate in Kriyas Taiva. Such a person is an ingrate, ingratitude. The source of the chesed, Yazov, they forsake Hashem, and they reach out to Avodah Zarah. What did the Avodah Zarah ever do for you? All he does is just sit there and spread. But I'm not like that. This is part of his tefillah. Kadosh Baruch Hu answer my tefillah, because my tefillah I have a redeeming virtue. I acknowledge the source of my chesed. That's what Rashi learns. I mean, there isn't much agreement on this pasuk, to tell you the truth. The Marikara says, Mishamrim Havlishav, it's going on the sailors in the boat. Mishamrim Havlishav is that they reached out to Avodah Zarah. The reaction when they were beset upon by the storm is that each one dove into his Avodah Zarah. So Mishamrim Havlishav, they reached out, they pinned their hopes on nothingness. They're davening to nothing. They're going to get nothing. You talk to nothing, you get nothing. And they're waiting for it, and they're anticipating it. Mishamim, they're anticipating salvation from a nothing. Chazdem yazayvu. So he translates that in a good way. Chazdem, he translates that which they thought was chesed. Chazdem, it doesn't say chesed. It says chazdem, their chesed. That which they previously thought as chesed, that they held was chesed, the Avodah Zarah, yazovu. Ultimately, they forsook the Avodah Zarah and became gerim. Yeah. So my Rikar is learning, it's a good thing.
What does it have to do with him, though?
Well, you see, he's saying that his avera is running away, had a redeeming factor to it that it caused people to be gerim. And his tshuva is going to be a kiddush Hashem Shamayim. See, there is an element of tayv in averus. Because when a kaddish baruch hu, Rachmanus Litzlan, punishes the person, or if he avoids punishment by doing tshuva, then that has a positive impact on others. And that impression never would have been there if it wasn't for the avera. So he's saying, yes, I did an avera. Yes, I'm doing tshuva. But there's a tayv, there's an aspect of tayv in it. Chazdim yazayvu. I've never heard of Zohar, they forsook the Avodah Zarah. The Radak has a pessimistic note here. He said, Chazdim yazayvu. He defines the word Chazdim as the Gerus. You see, each one of them are Farshim, they translate the word Chazdim differently. The Radak says Chazdim is the Gerus. Chazdim is uniting with the sword of Chesed. Chazdim Yazayvu means that the tshuva is not going to last. Chazdim Yazayvu means they're going to forsake their gerus. According to the Radak, there's a very strong significance to what he's saying. He's saying, these people, they saw a miracle. They saw a man survive in the belly of a fish. They saw someone survive in the depths. They saw the storm come out, the miraculous storm. They saw everything. And then, yes, they did tshuva. But chazdim yazayvu. The tshuva was shallow. The tshuva is not going to last. They'll talk about it, it'll last for a little while until the impact wears off, and then they'll go back to their own ways. That's why they want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh because I'm going to be mechiyach them, and I know they're going to do tshuva, but it's not going to last. Chazdim yazayvu. It's according to Radak. It's mamish poignant. It's mamish poignant. Chazdim yazayvu.
What does yazayvu mean, to go back?
Yeah, yazayvu forsake. They're going to forsake the chesed, and Radak's word chesed is their gerus. The mom says something very similar. And the mom says this explicitly. See, the Radak said we're talking about the people of the boat, and we're projecting the people of the boat onto the people of Nineveh. The mom says it directly on people of Nineveh. The whole pasuk is talking about the people of Nineveh. Meshamrim havlishav, the people of Nineveh, they put their hopes in false idols. Chazdim yazovu, even though I know they're going to do chesed, they're going to do tshuva. Chazim yazovu? But are they going to forsake their chesed? With a question mark at the end. Chazim yazovu, are they really going to forsake their chesed? And the word chesed means avodah zara. These people, they put their whole hopes in vapor. Hevel. Chazim yazovu? Are they really going to forsake their chesed? They're really going to forsake the avodah zara? They're going to make some cosmetic changes. And they're not going to give it up. And they're not going to give it up. They're going to go back to their old ways. And what's Hashem going to do if they go back to their old ways? What do you think Hashem's going to do if they go back to their old ways? You're going to destroy them. So what's the point? And the Maaseh Kachav in history, the city of Nineveh was ultimately destroyed.
Wasn't Jonah's boat going to Tarshish?
He was running away from Nineveh. Tarshish is the other direction.
Wasn't the people on the boat coming with him to Tarshish?
Everyone was going to Tarshish.
So how is the second opinion saying that that they would go to Nineveh and then sin again if they were going to Tarshish?
Because his mission was to go to Nineveh.
He but tried the people to. On the boat weren't. They're saying that it's referring to the people on the boat.
No, the Malbim is saying it's not referring to the people on the boat. The Radak was saying it's referring to the people on the boat.
I don't remember.
Yeah, so it's two different explanations. The Radak is saying that it's talking about the conduct of the people in the boat. They're in the storm. They're praying to their gods, and that's not going to help. It's not going to help them. Mm-hmm. And even if they convert, but it's not going to last. And Yehuda is saying, so Hashem, you know, the same thing is going to happen if I go to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. The people in the boat aren't necessarily going to go to Nineveh. Although we're going to see, they did. In actuality, they did, but that's not related to you. That's not related.
Who in actuality did? The sailors.
The sailors did get the word to Nineveh that Yaina was saved by an ace, and it reached them. It's mashma that the sailors did go to Nineveh. They fought, and they did.
Nineveh was destroyed when? In any significant?
Many years later.
Like it's in Tanakh or just in the regular
It's in Tanakh, yeah. It's in Tanakh. The whole Asher, the entire Nineveh is the capital city of Asher. Asher was obliterated, wiped off the face of earth. Have you seen anybody speak Assyrian lately? Is there an Assyria? It's gone. Let's go on to Pasuk Yud. Fa'ani. And I. So here he's contrasting himself with the Rishayim of the previous Pasuk. I raise my voice in a voice of acknowledgement. Toda. I acknowledge. I offer thanks. Ezbechalach. I sacrifice for you. Ashenadarti. That which I vow, Ashalema, I will fulfill. Yeshua Sal Hashem. The salvation is God's. So Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk, because he's vowing to bring Karbonos because Hashem saved him. That's the Pasuk Pshat. The Yakomi Amloy is says that Yaina knew that there's a flaw in this tefillah. This tefillah has an inbuilt chesaron, an inbuilt flaw. The Yakut Me'am Lois. This tefillah, this particular tefillah. If you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before something happens, so that's a genuine sincere tefillah. But there's a death sentence handed out, you know. There's a death sentence over a person. And he didn't daven before. Now he starts to daven. I mean, you ever heard that Maisa? It's said over as a Maisa Shahaya. That there were Jews that used to make the living out of smuggling. It was a lucrative business. There are certain luxury items, or even basic items, necessities, that in one country were quite affordable, and in another country, right across the border, would fetch high prices. The only thing is, it was illegal to transport the things across the border. And unless you paid the amount of taxes that wouldn't make it worthwhile. So smuggling was a big operation, and there were Jews that lived near the border, right between Lithuania and Germany. And they would bring things back and forth and sell it, and they took their lives in their hands, because the punishment for smuggling was sometimes life incarceration or even death. I mean, they didn't play games, so it wasn't. They didn't get 72 hours of community service for smuggling. And there was a group that they did give permission to go from one country to the other for purposes of family reunification, like there was a funeral or something. The government had some humane laws. So they would dress up like mourners, have a coffin, put the stuff, inside the coffin, and they'd go across, there, empty it out, put some rocks in, come back. I don't know what they did. And come back, and this went on for a period of time. There was an alert border guard once. So he sees them dressed up for a funeral. He sees the coffin, but they don't look sad. So he said, "What do you got in the coffin?" They said, "Chutzpah, you're gonna violate the dead." He said, "What do you got in the coffin? You know, we refuse to open it up. This is you have to show respect for the dear departed ones." You know. What's in the coffin? Now they wouldn't do it. And finally, he lowered his bayonet, whatever weapon it was at the time. He says, open the coffin. And then they saw. He saw what was in there. It was contraband. It was full of cotton. They all started crying because it's all over. And the guy told them, if you would have cried before, you wouldn't have to cry now. It's a mushel. Yain is crying now. Yain is davening now. Now he's crying. Look at all he had to go through. He's davening now. There's something with this tefillah. And he knows this. And you know this. Yeah. Are you sorry? Are you sorry for what you did? Did you express remorse? Yeah? He says, yeah, I'm sorry. You really sorry? Yeah, I'm sorry I got caught. Didn't you see the stop sign? I saw the stop sign, officer. I didn't see you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I have to pay a ticket. But Yaina was bigger than that. He was way above this, Madraga. And Yaina was saying that there's three reasons why his tefillah should be accepted anyway. One is because he said he already started on the kapara. One of the things which enables a person to do kapara is to make a pilgrimage to the Makom HaMikdash. The Makom HaMikdash, the actual ground of the Mikdash is holy. And you go to Yerushalayim, that's part of the kapara process. Is I'm coming back to my sources, I'm coming back to my roots, I'm coming back to my God. You know, you run into your father's, your kid does something wrong, and then the father sees him. If he runs away, he's going to get hit. So what does he do if he's smart? He runs straight to the father. So running back to Yerushalayim, he told the fish to bring him back to Yerushalayim. So he said, I'm already on the process. The pasuk says, V'chiper ad maso amo. The land itself is an atonement. Another schus is the people were Megaya because of them. Chazdem Yazoivu. People were Megaya because of me. That's also a schus. And the third schus is that I made a nether to bring a carbon in front of you. And the Yalkut said that refers to the nether he made to capture the Leviathan by its tongue, tie a chain around it, bring it up, shecht it, and bring it as a carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And to bring a carbon. So according to the Alchemy Amleis, the nether goes on the carbon of the Leviathan. The Malbim says that the nether is a lot more pertinent to the topic at hand. It's not referring to the carbon that he's going to bring in the Asad Lavai. By bringing the Leviathan as a carbon to Hashem, he's making a nether, he's going to go to Nineveh. He's telling Hashem, I'm making a nether, I'm going to go to Nineveh, and I'm going to keep it. I'm going to go. The Malbim. And the Malbim said, that's why Yaina ends off his words with Li Yeshua Sal Hashem.
How does that mean a carbon?
I'm the carbon. I'm sorry, I left that. I'm the carbon. We had that before by the people of the boat. That they're considered the carbon. The Yeshua Sal Hashem, salvation is Hashem's, because even though Yaina calculated that the worst thing for Klal Yisrael is for him to go to Nineveh and to deliver the prophecy, and they'll be chayzer b'tshuva, and the Aseres HaShvatim will not be chayzer b'tshuva, and they'll be showing up in a bad light. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, people in Nineveh did tshuva and the Aseres HaShvatim didn't. Hashem's going to send them into galus, even though it's my calculations, and I can't see it any other way. But l'shua sal Hashem, salvation is in the hands of God. See, even though I'm making a calculation like that, and that's the way I see it, but I'm davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that ultimately I should be wrong, even though I can't see it any other way. The Yeshua Sal Hashem, the salvation is in the hands of God. And he said, and I endeavored to prevent this, and I was willing to give up my life not to go there. But now that I have to go there, so then you can't rely on myself anymore. I can't stop this. The Yeshua Sal Hashem. The Yeshua Sal Hashem. Okay, we'll stop over here.